We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Quick little sports news bit regarding the Tigers. Chris McCoskey reporting. Sawyer Gibson Long is going on the IL with neck strain. That's why Tyler Owens is here. Bullpen game today in game one. Tyler Holton is starting the game today, this afternoon. Jack Flaherty will pitch the nightcap. But Sawyer Gibson Long going on the IL. Don't know how long that's going to be. Neck strain doesn't sound like it's something that's going to be terribly long, but Reese Olson is poised to come back any second and thought there was a chance he could get the start for today's game. That's not the case. I looked ahead to see if he's starting at Toledo today or tomorrow, and he doesn't look like that's the case. So perhaps he comes back to this team for the weekend series against Cleveland, or maybe he makes one more start in Toledo before he comes back. Alex Lang is another pitcher to keep an eye on. He did pitch, I believe, last night for Toledo. I think another scoreless inning of work. I can see him coming back to this bullpen real soon, and that would be an upgrade in the bullpen for sure. So keep an eye on that. But another player for the Tigers on the IL. First was Kerry Carpenter, which I'm fine with. I say that because I don't think that's any big injury with the hamstring strain or whatever it is. If it's something that, you know, typically they wouldn't put him on the IL because it's just going to miss a few games, why not use the IL? You've got the All-Star break coming up. Bring him back after the All-Star break. Let him get a couple, 3 weeks of full rest in there to make sure that things are ready to go for the second half or the post-All-Star rest of the season there. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully, because Gibson Long has pitched okay.
I mean, yeah, he's been okay.
I mean, the injuries of the pitching staff, I mean, Job, Olson, that's two of the five.
Yes, but Olson is coming back any second.
I know, but
it's, I mean, it's, this is different than last year where they literally had 1.5 starters for the last 5 weeks of the season. This is different than that. They're still able to manage right now, and they didn't have to go back to the Cater Montero well. He pitched last night for Toledo.
Right.
Five innings of work, gave up one run. But I think that's often going to be something they do in the second half of the season, is bringing him up from time to time, at least until we see what happens at the trade deadline with the Tigers add pitching or not.
Until they bring up the knuckleballer.
Sirwa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in any hurry to see that. Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm not in any hurry to see a knuckleballer. It's a gimmick in my mind. It works for a little bit of time, and then everybody catches up to it. We've been talking about the Red Wings, but the Pistons are also top of mind. They have made some moves. Monday was the day of free agency began at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and the Pistons have been somewhat active. They've made some moves, and they've let some players go, which is interesting. You add in the University of Michigan duo of Duncan Robinson and Caris LeVert, and you usher out Schroeder and Tim Hardaway Jr., another Michigan player.
Fontecchio.
Yes, and Fontecchio was on the way out as well. He was part of the sign and trade for Duncan Robinson. And also Malik Beasley.
Yes.
Sounds more and more as more stuff comes out about it.
Do you think
it's beyond the gambling stuff? He's had some real financial issues.
Do they trade Jim Langdon? Do you think they vetted like Caris LeVert and Duncan Robinson to make sure they don't owe their barber $27,000?
Perhaps. Yeah. Hey, do you mind if we take a look at your bank account? Do you?
Lord, you read some of this stuff.
It's sad. It is. It's sad that somebody who's made $50 million in their career doesn't have the money for a variety of reasons. It's not a new tale to tell. It's not the last time this tale will be told. The scary part is that if you're in financial dire straits and the way out of it that you see is if the gambling aspect is true, that's really sad. And that's the sport can't handle that.
No,
you're just not going to be around in the sport, and rightfully so. But what the Pistons have done, right? Let's throw Malik Beasley aside. It's too bad because Malik Beasley was a slam dunk. Let's sign him to a long-term contract or at least a 3-year or 4-year deal. Keep him here. A guy shoots over 40% from the three. Got to have him in the NBA. Well, no one's going to have him in the time being.
Correct.
So it's a loss, but what'd they do? Duncan Robinson can flat out shoot. He's a three-point specialist, doesn't play a ton of defense. He's got good size, but again, doesn't play a ton of defense, but he can just flat out shoot. Caris LeVert is a little bit of a catch-all type guard. He can do a lot of things. I don't think he's nothing special, but he's also, he's not a nothing burger either. I mean, it's a player you can bring off the bench and he can add something to you.
No, and everybody talks about his injuries. That was more earlier in his career. The last three seasons, he's played 74, 68, and 64 games. Last year, he averaged 12 points a game, 37% from three. Career-wise, 13.9, 34% for three.
Yeah, well,
we know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
When Pistons add players to this team right now, they're not going to get crack the starting lineup, and they're not going to get 30 minutes a game,
no.
Even coming off the bench. That's just not going to happen. Duncan Robinson will probably get plenty of minutes because of his shooting ability. But I think the question that I would have about this is coming in and going out, are they better? Duncan Robinson to Caris LeVert over Schroeder and Hardaway Jr. You know, Fontecchio did nothing from last year, so I don't even care.
So
Beasley's obviously a different issue.
Okay, taking Beasley out of the equation, yes, I believe LeVert and Duncan Robinson are better than Schroeder and Hardaway Jr. for this coming year.
And then adding Chaz Lanier in the draft, another guy who can just flat out shoot, but we don't know in the NBA if he can shoot the NBA, because it's a whole different ballgame when you're playing in the NBA.
Second round pick.
Yeah.
Know.
Probably not expecting a ton, but if this guy makes the roster and is with the team, does he get minutes? You know, or is he going to get played like Marcus Sasser does? And, you know, who knows? But Duncan Robinson, I think, is a nice addition. But does he effectively just replaces the shooting ability of Malik Beasley. Schroeder and Hardaway. Schroeder played good defense. He added a calming influence on this team down the stretch with his veteran leadership. Hardaway Jr. was pretty good for this team last year as well. I mean, there were times he would take a game over for a little bit of stretches there. I'm not thrilled with, I don't know. I like Duncan Robinson, Caris LeVert. I just don't know if that's, and would I rather have Schroeder or Hardaway Jr. over LeVert? I think I'd rather have Hardaway Jr.
I wouldn't.
I don't know.
I think LeVert can do more. Hardaway Jr. might be a better three-point shooter, but I think LeVert can drive to a whole lot better. They're both average defensively, I believe. And I think LeVert's a little younger. He's 31. I mean, they were teammates at one point, but yeah.
Well, I guess when it comes to guys who can drive, that's what I'm looking at. Jaden Ivey.
Yes,
he's healthy. He's going to start the season with this team, we assume. And okay, get back to what you were, which was this dynamic penetrating guard.
Look, what this team still needs, in my opinion, they didn't address stretch four.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that still coming?
I don't know. It's like when we talk about the Pistons, talking about the Red Wings. Obviously, the Pistons are a lot closer. They made the playoffs, and you know the East is wide open. And as opposed to what the Red Wings have to deal with, you know, are they better than they were going in? That's pretty much the same, I think. And like the Red Wings, they're counting on Thompson and Holland and Ivy and Durin and these guys getting better.
No, and even Cade.
And I was going to say that. And even Cade getting better. Another year with J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
So there's hope there. You know, the problem is, even though, Indiana, now they lose Turner and no Halliburton there, and they obviously aren't going to be as good.
Kind of open here.
It's kind of open, but there are some teams that are that weren't even that good that got better. Atlanta is going to be really good, I think.
Orlando is
going to
be better.
Yes, because they were just below the Pistons, and that's part of that was because Banchero missed so many games
too. I just think there's going to be a ton of competition in the East. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the Pistons got worse.
No.
But I don't know if they got better. But I think they'll hold their own. And if they get better, it's going to be because their own young players got better as the season went on.
Correct.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. You want to talk about the Pistons, the Red Wings, Tigers, Lions, whatever's on your mind. Let's get to Mike. He's next up, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So I'm tired of these general managers, per se, just trying to build dynasties without winning a single championship. You got to win one to build a dynasty. And particularly with Yzerman, does he not realize you have to make the playoffs in order to win a Stanley Cup? There's no other way to get there. And the playoffs have a very good way of highlighting your weaknesses much more, you know, focused than the regular season where we didn't make the playoffs. Well, there's a lot of things that could be bad. But once you get in the playoffs, then you really find out where your problems are.
Well, not only that.
That's true, but I think anybody with good vision could see that with just watching the other teams in the playoffs.
Well, the other thing the playoffs do is the playoffs give you that taste of
correct.
What the real action is
right,
about.
Which you hope the Pistons got
yeah,
this year.
Exactly. And what that can do is it inspires the team. And then you find out which guys, not where your weaknesses are, but maybe what your strengths are, what your potential is, which is where I'd like to see. Now, do I think that Steve Yzerman wanted to make the playoffs? Of course I
yes.
do. I think each of the last 3 years, they had teams that were right there, and they collapsed for whatever reason was. And they need to find out if they could figure it out and what was the actual reason. Something tangible that they can say, oh, it was this or it was this, explain it away and come back stronger next year. Great. But it's 3 years in a row where that happened. I don't think this is intentional by Steve Yzerman.
No.
I don't think he's, you know, screwing around with this. I think there are limitations to what's been done here. And we're all feeling the frustration here. I imagine he's frustrated, too. But he's the guy in charge. He's the guy that can go ahead and make that move to make this team better if that move is out there. And I think that move is out there. I don't know who the player is, but if it's true that Robertson is available to be had from Dallas, well, I would hope that he's on the phone with his good buddy Jim Nillen trying to make something happen. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.